So today we're here to talk about difficult conversations. My dad was almost full-blooded Mexican and my mom is full-blooded German. So I want you to put that in the context of your mind, which means I woke up every morning to machismo and passive aggressive. So, yeah, amen, hallelujah. I lived, so I'm lived and I'm here. That's great, right? So I got up every morning eating conflict for breakfast, like my Cheerios, because you didn't have a choice to do so, because obviously, who's the head of the house? Machismo, yeah, amen. Who I love dearly, absolutely. So today we're gonna talk about difficult conversations, managing the conflict, but then also how to go about them. So when we talk about the framework for this, there's a very simple framework that I utilize, and I have to turn my clicker on. It is check yourself before you wreck yourself. We're going to talk about the preparation, the how, and then at the end, it's really let God be God, because we're not God, right? We all know that. Yep. Did anybody grow up in the old school church where it was like, hey, somebody find this Bible verse and read it out, who can find it the fastest? Mm-hmm. We're going to play a little bit of that today, a little bit. So get your fingers ready. So we're going to talk first about what conflict is. Dictionary.com says it's an incompatibility between two or more opinions, principles, interests, or pretty much anything possible under the sun with that piece. So do we think that that happens quite often? By nature, when God says that we're all wonderfully and uniquely made in his image and he didn't make any of us the same, do you think that he knew that this was going to happen? Yeah. Absolutely. So conflict can actually help relationships and not hinder them. A lot of people look at it as, hey, if there's conflict, I'm not working well with this person. It's going to be difficult. It's hard. It's not easy. They will have different ideas. They have different opinions. They want to go in a different direction. That actually can make a stronger relationship. I would say in my corporate career, I've respected the people more who have come to me and we've had it out. I will tell you that there was a situation a couple of months ago that I was in a meeting, and I'm a manager by title, but there's two directors in a corporate office, and myself and the HR business partner are going back and forth and having a conversation to the point where we got passionate because we were both very passionate people. And no, she was not normally passionate by nature, so it was a little surprising to them that she got passionate, but the two directors sat back in their chairs and fold their hands because they didn't know what to do. She was wrong, I was right, for the record, in case anybody was wondering. She was wrong, I was right. But then when we got out of the meeting, we looked at each other and I said, I'm hungry. She's like, I can't wait any longer. Let's just go now for lunch, right? Like, we were not joking, we were going at each other. And I will tell you that will build a stronger relationship is just about how you look at it. It can bring you closer, or you can use it to take offense. And we all know what happens when we take offense, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. We have enough of that in church. We don't need to add any more. I'm just saying. So can anybody tell me what James 1:2 says? Does anybody know? Read it out loud. James 1:2. It's not on the screen yet. Somebody find it? Shh. Who's got a loud voice? Sing it out. What do you got? James 1:2.
Count it all joy when you come into trials.
Count it all joy when you come into trials. Count it all joy. Does anybody feel joy? Do you feel joy?
Not with conflict.
No. When somebody's like, hey, I want the Easter eggs to be this way, and somebody's like, we can't do Easter eggs. Read between the lines. Is that joy? No. By the way, did you quote the right version? Was that the right version of the Bible?
Oh. King James is what I learned.
King James is what you learned. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah.
It's about how we approach it and how we take it. Mm-hmm. Some people believe that, you know, this is the way it is. This is the way it's supposed to be. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But it does, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. What does it produce?
Endurance.
So that means we don't get better at this unless we what?
Practice.
Yeah, that's not fun. Because let me tell you, it's not fun even in my shoes today. So let's endure and have it be respectful, resultant, and that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. which AKA to me reads, you've learned, you've grown, you've understood somebody else's perspective. Amen, in a spirit of unity. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So now that you got that part, does anybody in here have a situation where they're having a situation? Like maybe you're walking through a situation and you got a little bit of a trial going on and a little bit of a conflict. Does anybody have that right now?
That's why we all said.
Well, there's some hands that aren't raised. So let me tell you, if you're not in one, you're about to be coming into one. So bless you for the ones that are coming in, because the rest of us have one actively going on.
Yes.
So the first bullet in your handout, I'm going to ask you to think of a trial that you have going on. Here's the deal. I was told that this group is always so smart that I'm gonna do this in less time. Amen, Kristen. Amen. I'm gonna do this in less time, but I'm also going to do it from a individual standpoint, but then also I'm gonna add in some people leader flavor. Who leads people? People leader? Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna talk about both sides. So I'm going to bounce between both hats. So I want you to think about a conflict that you have either personally or one that you have as a leader. Does that make sense? I'm going to give you like 2 minutes to fill out that box and put it in there. So the other thing that I want to tell you that my dad told us a lot growing up, and as I want you to really think about this one, but he says, iron sharpens iron. So I have conflict all the time, and especially as a people leader, I need to tell you, I don't think about it as iron sharpens iron. I think about it as, you should know how to do your job sometimes. Again, not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm a workshopper, yeah. So I can get away with these things. At least that's what I tell myself. I don't know. Kristen's in here, so we'll see what happens. Okay, so now that you have your trial or your situation laid out, we're going to talk a little bit how you're going to get into deeper components of that piece. So the Lord has made us in such a wonderful, magnificent way that we can't even begin to understand some of the components that he's put together, the way that he's put it together on purpose. Mm-hmm. So when you start to learn an instrument, who plays an instrument in here? Bless you all. I do not. So when you start to learn, I tried. When you start to learn an instrument, sometimes the muscle memory comes in, right? And then you just know, and then you hear a certain key and you're like, oh yeah, that's right here. And you don't have to think about where it's at. It's all muscle memory. It's because you've learned from your previous experience. As we get older, when we're taught things in kindergarten, right? Then we get older and then we go into high school. Then there are some things that we pull from our previous experience so that we can build upon it. For those of us that are seasoned, not old, seasoned in a few things, like we pull from our muscle memory and our past experiences, right? So the brain is such a wonderful thing that it can continue to put things together. So what I'm gonna ask you is, has anybody been to Jimmy John's? Is anybody like a big Jimmy John? Yeah. Has anybody seen this? Y'all didn't look because it's in there. So I want you to take a second and just read this. You can stand up in the back and come look at it if you want. It would lose it if I read it. But come on up. Okay, for the people in the back that can't see it or on the side, can somebody from the audience tell them what you just experienced?
Do you want us to read it all?
No, you don't have to read it. Just tell them exactly what's happening.
Your brain fills in the missing components of the word. You can just see the word and you know it even though it's misspelled.
Yeah, the letters are in
the word.
Huh?
It fixes the words.
Yeah, but the letters in there are in the wrong places, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you guys know that your brain does that?
Yeah.
So what do you think that your brain does when you have feelings? What do you think your brain does when you have feelings and you're right?
It relates it to past times when you had similar feelings.
Yeah. So like Kristen's standing at the door right now and she's leaning on the door hinge. If I have experience, I'm going to pick on you. I love you. But if I have experience that somebody's leaning on the door hinge like that, it was not a great experience and they were counting my fillers like Hannah is in the back right now, I could start to get a little nervous and say, oh, she's just looking for all the negatives. She's looking for the bad things. She doesn't want to support me. She doesn't want to promote me. She doesn't like me. Did she say any of that?
No.
What? What'd you say? She's not very nice. No. No. We're supposed to be Jesus-loving folk here. Come on now. Give me a break. So the important part to remember is this isn't going to come to mind when you're in the heat of the minute and the moment and you're just trying to figure out how you're going to prove your point. Because let's be honest, that's what a lot of us try to do. But we need to memorize that and understand that, remember that these aren't the facts and those are stories I'm telling myself.
That's good.
So you have to bring it down to the facts. You can't interpret things. We can't interpret things. As a learning and development person, it's my job to read body language people and assume and assumpt and know where people are going with their learning and what they have to, what they need to work on and learn. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that. So I have to make sure I put that in the back pocket. I'm right a lot. Like a lot, but I still can't assume it. So we have to separate the facts versus the stories we're telling ourselves. We have to identify the trial, conflict, check the facts for the stories that we're telling ourselves, and take the emotions out. Is it easy to take the emotions out?
No, it's not.
Why is it not?
Because it feels real.
It feels real.
Yeah.
If we don't bring it back to things like Ephesians 4:25, which tells us to take the stories out, the feelings out, put the full mind of Christ on, we're not going to be looking at those situations as facts. So I will tell you that I am a very flamboyant, authentic, audacious, full of energy person who gets very passionate, and Kristen's back there smiling, yes. So this is not easy for me to like pull the feelings out in the moment. I will tell you that at the experienced age I'm at doing this, it still doesn't come easy. Mm-hmm. There's still situations where I'm like, wait, hold on a second. And I grew up with John Wayne for Jesus, so I'm just telling you. And who benefits when we let our emotions take the best out of us? Well, there's somebody. Yeah, the devil doesn't want you to take your emotions out. He plays with them. We know that. That's the biggest thing he gets to us with, is the footholds and the offenses we put in our heart and then our emotions. Because if he has our feelings and he's able to manipulate our feelings and get us to go a certain direction, we're going, we're gone, because we believe it's us, right?
Yeah.
And it's not us. So just making sure that we're keeping those pieces in check. The other piece is that we need to make sure that we're looking inward at ourselves. So anytime I go to have a conflict, anytime I go to have a conversation, the first thing I do is check myself before I wreck myself. Sometimes we misunderstand things. Sometimes I make assumptions. Sometimes I'm not a very good person, am I? Just being honest. Sanctification is a process. It's a process. So, but I do make these horrible assumptions, and I do make a horrible decisions sometimes, saying, well, these are the facts in my mind, but did I go to that person, have the conversation, ask them to explain it to me? We're going to go through some of my favorites, help me understand in a little bit. So what I want you to do is take a moment. I need you to go to that second graph, and I want you to list out the facts that you're telling yourself. Like, what are the facts and not the stories? The stories are not helpful, so you have to separate those out. Are you ready? Get set. Go. It is helpful sometimes to have somebody, we're going to get into that, but we'll be helpful sometimes to have somebody else go and help us out with this. So the thing that happens a lot with conflict when we're separating the facts versus the stories, do you think it's easy for us to do that by ourselves?
No.
Is it something that we often want to go to a peer with or have some help and talk to somebody that we might know? What is the risk in doing that?
Having their own opinion.
Oh.
Their emotions.
Mm-hmm. So is going to somebody and getting help with challenging your thought process, is it helpful to go to many people?
No.
No. Do we often go to many people?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. I only like going to the people who tell me I'm wrong. If you can find that forever friend that will tell you when you're wrong and not be scared, don't let them go. Do not let them go. Like, keep them. So separating the facts from the stories we tell ourselves, that is not easy. So we talk about Ephesians 4:25. I have the ESV version, just to let you know, for those of you who are curious. I didn't put it on the first one on purpose. So making sure that we're going through that exercise and we're calling out what exactly the facts are versus the stories we're telling ourselves, and then having that time where we reflect and say, okay, so this is what I think it is, and this is how I'm going to address it. The thing about conflict is it's no new recipe. It's Matthew 18. So who are parents in here? Raise your hand. So I am not a parent, but I will tell you the thing that my dad did. My dad, every time I would come up or my sister would come up and we'd be like, you know, our sister hit us or she took my Barbie doll or whatever it was. He was like, Matthew 18. You can't sit here and talk to me about your sister unless she's standing here. Did you talk to her about it first? And then, yeah, did you talk to her about it first? And then you both can come and talk to me. Literally, at some point in time when we realized what the process was, if we came to him without bringing that person or saying we tried to bring that person, we got in trouble. And I will tell you, it brings such peace in a household. Because then you don't have them all coming to you at one at a time, mommy, daddy, mommy, daddy, mommy. You hear what I'm saying? Matthew 18, your best friend. So teach your kids how to do that, because I need to tell you, now when I teach adult classes in corporate America, I was like, your parents didn't Matthew 18 you. Your parents did not Matthew 18 you. They did not. They didn't. I am very biased. I think I had the best dad in the whole wide world. And by the end of this workshop, you're going to think so too. Gosh darn it. Because I said so. So Matthew 18, for those of you that are parents, that will be helpful. When you're looking at those pieces and you understand what the facts are versus the stories, the second part that goes that people often miss, or the next part that we go into, is the preparation. Most people are like, I have the facts, I know what it is, I'm going to do the thing, I'm gonna go tell them they're wrong. We've gotta get to the bottom of this, right? The sun tells you not to go down, the Bible tells us to not let the sun go down on our anger, and that 100% applies. I think that personally it's different a little bit in our personal lives than our work life. Our work life, sometimes we've got to pull out a little bit and be a little bit more professional, right? So sometimes it's okay to wait a little bit. But here's the deal. Do not avoid. As soon as you start to avoid or kick that can down the road or procrastinate, you are making it worse. And you are letting the devil put a foothold in you because you're procrastinating on something and you're not taking it on. So in your preparation, as soon as you realize there's a conflict, the facts versus the stories, you realize that there really is a conflict because you've taken out your stories, then set a timeline. This is when I'm going to have it. Don't let it be long. In corporate America, I don't let it go more than 2 days. In my personal life, I try not to let it go more than a day. That's just for me because I know where God has positioned my heart and I know how long is too long for me. Does that make sense? But I also have to know who my audience is. And sometimes there's these people that their brains don't operate as fast as mine do, and their processors aren't as fast, and they need time to process. My previous team, when I was at my last company, all of my direct reports were all long-term processors, and that was painful. That was very painful, but it taught me a lot, but it's very painful. But people sometimes need that time to process, so be respectful of that. So let's talk about the preparation. The questions I ask myself is, what do I want for myself, and what do I want for others? And the reason why you're asking that question is you're trying to think with the end in mind. Am I trying to add a divide? Am I trying to get them to comply with what I need them to do? Am I trying to get collaboration? Those are the types of questions you're asking yourself in this moment. And then, how would I act if I really wanted these results? So most of the time we can say, hey, this is what we want, but our actions say something else. So make sure that your actions are lining up. As a leader, I checked the ones that I most definitely talk about as a leader. And so some of the ones that I look at myself as a leader is, am I ready to name the behavior and the actions? So when I have an opinion or I think somebody's not welcoming or presenting well, am I leading with the behavior? Dolores, I need you to be a little bit more professional when you have people come into the classes. The behavior overall. So don't get into the actual action, because sometimes people can take offense to that. So just be careful how you approach that. Because sometimes it's not about, as leaders, it's not about us setting the exact to-dos, but sometimes it's about us setting the strategy. I'm doing all right for time, Kristen, I promise. And so the other piece of it is do they have the tools and education they needed? If I didn't set them up for success, how do I expect them to do it? So if I wasn't clear, if I wasn't concise, if I wasn't pinpointed, how do I expect them to do that? If I didn't tell them that as a part-time church leader who gets so many hours, if I didn't tell them the expectation is that they're here for Sunday morning setup at 8 a.m., how do I expect them to know that they need to be there at Sunday morning setup? But how easy is it to walk up to somebody and say, hey, the part of your job is you have to be here at 8 a.m. Sunday mornings and you just sell the chairs up? Is that difficult? In some cases it is. It depends on like your relationship and it depends on the type of person you are. If you're homegrown Minnesotan, that's difficult. I'm just being real. If you're homegrown Minnesotan, it's difficult.
And they're not.
It depends on who you're talking to, and sometimes they're not, right? So, but we don't get that option as leaders because we stepped up to the plate. So what do I want for myself? Well, I want peace on my team is what I want for myself. That's normally what the answer is. So how am I going to continue to move forward getting peace? What do I really want for others? I want to develop them. I want to grow them. I want to coach them. I want to help them. I don't want to tear them down. So what do I really want for them? These are the questions as a peer I'm asking. And then how would I act if I really wanted these things? That's really challenging. What does that outcome look like? So another one that I ask myself as a leader and as a peer conflict person is, what am I just trying to win? I'm really not competitive. 6 girls in my family, I'm in the middle. I just want everybody to cross the finish line with 2 hands, 2 feet, and not missing any ligaments or need Band-Aids. Amen. And then what do I really want for the relationship? Is this gonna be a relationship? Is this gonna be somebody that I'm gonna continue to work with? How can I help them, support them, and grow them? Does that make sense? So as a leader, before I sit down and realize there's a conflict and there's a coaching, then the questions I most definitely focus on are, am I ready to name the behavior? Overall behavior. And it's not the laundry list, it's a few examples so they don't feel overwhelmed. And then, do they have the tools and education that they need to be successful? Because that falls back on me. So that goes back to checking myself before I wreck myself. And then, have I been clear? Because everybody communicates differently, right? And then, what do I really want for the relationship? So those are the pieces that I focus on as a leader. It is being in the Assemblies of God for a chunk of time. There's a bunch of leaders that I've gotten the opportunity to talk to. And the conversation is often talked about how the difficult conversation piece of it, that's okay, but that happens more in corporate America than it does in the churches today, right? Y'all didn't go to school to do this. Y'all went to school to be able to understand the gospel, correct? Those are pieces and added pieces that you learned. But I will tell you that in my perspective, if you are asked to lead, that means there can only be one leader, and God would never send anybody to have joint leadership going in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. You hear what I'm saying?
Yep.
So sometimes praying people out, it's an option, we can do that, but who stepped up to the plate and answered God's call and said, I will lead?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, leading isn't just about the fun stuff when I get to promote somebody and I get to give them a raise and I get to tell them how great they're doing. To me, leadership is also when I stepped up to the plate in corporate America. And yes, I have to answer to a board and a boss. That's a little bit different. But at the same point, you guys have to answer to God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're stepping up to the plate saying, I will lead. But there can't be multiple leaders going in different directions. So I want you to think about that as you think about how you're going to lead your teams as a leader. And if you are new in your leadership style, I have a workshop that I talk about creating your leadership principles. I'm more than happy to help have a conversation with you. Right now I've got a little extra time on my hands. So I'm happy to help out with any of those questions that you have as a new leader. So once we're done with the preparation, then we're gonna move over to the how. So the how is probably the easiest part because there isn't much more that you get into. You've done all of the hard work, which is great. And now you're ready to do that piece of it. So we're gonna talk about the how and then we're gonna do the little activity. So Matthew 18, I said that creates the entire roadmap there. So go ahead and talk to you alone. You can bring a person if you need to. You can escalate to your senior pastor. You can escalate to anybody else. But here's the deal, we can't gossip. We can't go to several of our friends and say, oh my gosh, I'm not gonna tell you what name, but I'm gonna tell you there was a volunteer and they don't ever come on time and we're a church plant, so we're having to set up. Why? Is that funny? Do people say that? Does that sound normal? You mean I know what I'm talking about? Hold on a second. Not my first rodeo. So, but it is good because those are things that we do. And to be honest, we're all human. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. If you asked six of my last team members, they would all have different things that they would probably tell you that I could work on. Some of them don't think my jokes are funny. I think God's still working on them. So the how, there's a little thing that I call in corporate America, this is my term, you're not gonna find this anywhere, I call it set the table. So as a leader, I'm setting the table. As a peer, I will set the table, but the setting the table looks different. The setting of the table says, hey, we're here today because I want to talk about XYZ. My outcome for XYZ is that hopefully we can get to this. Clear, concise, clear as kind. So be clear. This is what we're, some people jump right into the hard conversation because they are nervous, because they haven't done it before. Practice it with a peer, call somebody up, but make sure you set the table and think about, understand that they don't know where you're coming from. So here are my favorite things. I use these as a peer and as a leader. So here's the deal. When I use these as a leader, I'm using them as the entry-level conversation before I'm gonna put you on a performance situation because I have to fully understand. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I say, can you tell me why you did XYZ? The one I use the most is, can you help me understand? Can you help me understand why you thought it was a good idea to do that? But I do it in a really gentle, kind way, because you don't know, right? So the important part with some of those dialogue questions is to keep it in dialogue. So in conversations like this, often we go to silence or violence. You hear what I'm saying? It happens. I just witnessed one like last week. I'm not gonna lie. It was in my very Latina side of my family too. So anyways, so silence or violence, and we wanna keep it in the middle, which is dialogue. To help me understand, can you tell me why? Can you explain that to me? Can you tell me what you mean by that? Asking all of those questions. Take it out of your brain trying to win and turn into a detective when you're having these conversations. Because here's the deal, as a leader, if they're not talking and they're not telling you why and how and what and what their thought process is, you can't lead them, you can't guide them, you can't coach them. So then why are you a leader? Does that make sense? So you gotta get them to open up, you gotta have the questions, you gotta get in deep, and you gotta get into the ugly. So silence or violence, not a good idea, don't do that. Make sure you're calling out the behavior. And you can say things like, Dolores, I have such high expectations for you because I know that you can do such a great job that I know that I'm gonna set these expectations for you and I believe that you can do them and I'm here to ensure that you can do them and give you all the support you need. That's different than a little bit of condemnation that comes in when you assume that somebody should know. Mm-hmm. We don't all have the same experience. So when you have high expectations, and who has high expectations in this room of people? I do, I have really high expectations. So when you have them, you figure out how to meet them with where they're at. So with being a leader, I'm very clear about what moving forward looks like. Some people talk about the sandwich method, right, for feedback. Don't do that, it's gone. Mm-mm. Because if you tell me a positive, an opportunity, and another positive, what am I gonna walk away with? Dude, I'm doing so good, 2 out of 3, that's awesome, right? Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not gonna focus on that one, nobody's perfect, let it go, not a big deal. Even if it is a really bad one. So moving forward, this is what this looks like. Make sure you're very clear and concise. A lot of people talk around things, just be very clear. This is something that you guys might not do a whole lot of, but I would encourage you to get into the habit of if you're not, which is sending recap notes. Does anybody send recap notes now? I'm horrible at them. So in meetings, I have other people do them that are really good. But when I'm having these conversations, I do them. And here's my trick. I have my talking points listed out in the order I'm going to talk them in. And then I quickly, after I'm done with the conversation, go in and fill in the color. Because I forget. Because I'm like an in the moment type of person. Because that person in that situation is the only thing that matters to me in that moment and that time. Because that's the one I'm in. So sometimes I forget. So making sure you're setting clear recaps. So I want you to take a minute or two, and I want you to fill in the how to approach piece of it. And I want you to really think about how you're going to do this approach. The piece of what the last one and this one, the buckets, is I want you to start to separate and figure out how would you approach it differently as a people leader versus an individual contributor talking to a peer. When we talk to peers about conflict, it is very different than when we talk about it as people leaders. Because again, who's in charge? Mm-hmm. Who's the boss? Who's held accountable by God?
Yeah.
That's a big one. Yeah. So when you're thinking about it as a people leader perspective, I want you to really type out the how and how you're going to go about it. Ready, set, go. Hi, how are we doing? Are we having fun? You guys got your papers written on? Nice. How's it going? Everybody's doing good? Huh? I'm done at 11, right? Dude, God is so good. This is the smartest group ever.
You had a question.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you didn't see
it. Oh, sorry. Who had a question? Somebody had a question? Oh, you had a question. Can I get through here?
Sorry.
Whoop! I might fall over. What's up?
When you're talking about the active listening, asking questions, mm-hmm. I've heard it different ways. Like, is it better to say, hey, tell me about why you did that, rather than like, can you tell me about, like, is that too passive aggressive or is it too assertive?
No.
Like, does it matter?
Can you explain that to me? Tell me about why you did X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Help me understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes if you're like, well, why did you do this? I can almost seem less direct than using the term. So tell me what happened in your point of view or something like that. You know,
so the reason why I don't say in your point of view is because a lot of people take that as you're wrong. So it might be there's the language difference between corporate America and what happens within church ministry, right?
Yeah.
One's not right or wrong. So I would say test them both out, see what happens.
Yeah.
And then report back to me and give me feedback because I like feedback.
Okay.
I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
If you don't, I'm going to judge you a little bit. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Just like a little bit.
Yeah.
Not enough to be a sin, but a little bit. Not a real one anyways.
Yeah. Can we get a copy of your slides?
Yes. We will work with Kristen to make sure that those get posted. Yes. Okay. So I just had a really good question. All questions are really good though, for the record. The question was, would it be like, what's the perspective of saying, hey, can you tell me what happened in your perspective versus help me understand? And in my experience, from when I've used from your perspective, it's come across as sometimes as like your side of the story.
Yeah.
So some people don't handle it very well, but don't get me wrong. There are three sides of the story. There is mine, theirs, and then what really happened, which is what God's is. So often that is a true statement of telling me from your perspective. It's just about playing about which one works best and how it works with your audience and who you're talking to. Because we have to get to know our people if we're leading them. So we should know their communication style. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How you guys feeling?
Good.
Hi, what's your question?
I'm just wondering if you can keep your volume up a little bit.
Mine?
Some of what you're saying I don't hear.
Oh. That's solid. Most of the time I get told to be quiet. Dude, Kristen, write that down.
I have a hearing issue because I'm neurodivergent.
Okay, no worries.
So I need you to speak up.
Yep, or if you want to move up, you can move up too. Whatever, however. They said that there's an extra chair right here. So if you do want to move up, you can move up. So now that we've done the how, did everybody find that easier? Easier. Now that we're mostly through the workshop, I can have my coffee. I get a little excited, so I don't let myself have caffeine beforehand, believe it or not. So I'm a happy camper. So the how is really about making sure that you're clear and concise. Do not go into a conversation, especially not a coaching conversation, if you haven't been clear and concise and you have a full, clean layout. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
As a manager in corporate America, when I go to have conversations, there's three different types of conversations I have. I have a I think you might need some help and some direction as a kind of a peer. I play both sides. And then I'm your leader, so I'm going to ask you questions and figure a few things out. And then I have the, I already told you this once, I told you twice. So now we're going to have a different conversation, and that's called the performance management piece. So the key pieces with performance management for me to have peace before I close a door for somebody, and I will close a door because who did God put me in charge? Yep. So I will close a door, is did I give them the tools and resources that they needed? Did I give them clear, concise information that they needed? Where was I clear? I can't expect them to perform and do something that I need them to do if I'm not clear, if I don't give them the tools and they don't have the education. So that's the check myself before I wreck myself piece. So I'm checking myself. Did I document it? Mm-hmm. Right? Did I put things in place, and did I have the conversation of, you know, I'm happy to help you with whichever way you want to go? The last time I was just in this conversation 4 months ago, I offered to help update the resume. I offered to help find them something that's a better suit and a better fit for them. Because it's not, for me, it's not personal, it's just not the right fit. So as a people leader, my heart breaks and I'm compassionate, but at the end of the day, I'm also committing to doing a job and doing a job where we're all oaring in the direction that we're all supposed to be going is the only way that we can continue to get there. So I set the strategy. I'm not going to micromanage as a leader because that's why God brought in so many different people with so many different personalities. I'm not going to tell you how you have to greet people. I'm just going to have to tell you that the behavior I'm looking for is people at the front doors and people feeling welcome. However you want to do that, that's you. That's you bringing your individuality, and that's you doing what you need to do and what you do best, right? So if you want to shake hands, if you want to sit there, you want to have conversations, whatever it is, if you want to use names, don't use names, whatever, however it is, I'm not going to micromanage that. I'm going to tell you to do what it is that God has called you to do and let you lead in that area. Does that make sense? But if you can't, then I'm going to start to give you directions and clear execution of what that looks like. And I'm going to have those conversations, and I'm going to document them. Any questions about that? No? I know I sound so mean when I say that, but. Okay, so let's go into our conclusion pieces. So the conclusion piece is being Minnesota, maybe in our culture, but it's not in God's culture. So it's not about being in Minnesota. It's not about making sure that we're hitting that cultural piece. It's about, are we living up to what it is that God has called us to do? And a lot of people will push back and say, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about how to manage conflict, how to hear other people's opinions, this is the one true. But I'm like, put on the full mind of Christ, like separate the facts. Like there's so many scriptures that say, hey, check yourself before you wreck yourself mentally and emotionally before you get into it, right? And the thing about it is we don't want to create and cause more church hurt. So clarity is important. And I'm not saying that any of y'all have done that, but I will tell you that when I first became a leader, I should not have done some things that I did. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be totally honest. I should not have. Not at all. And then making sure that you develop yourself with more comfortable with these situations. So don't avoid them. Continue to embrace them. If there's small conversations to have, if there's large conversations to have, I will tell you that every time I've been at an event with Bridging the Gap, then there's been opportunities where I could step up to the plate, and there are some new opportunities with conflict that I've been able to have because Bridging the Gap has allowed me to do that, and I love being able to add that to my portfolio. Making sure that you separate the facts from the stories you're telling yourself. Everyone needs to work towards the same goal or you're not going in the same direction. Continue to walk towards your growth of sanctification process. So remember, you're going to continue to grow as a leader. And then as a leader, we need to call out the performance and agreed upon performance pieces to ensure that we're going in the direction that God has called us to do. Because I think we've all seen it when churches have people that are going in this direction, senior leadership wants to go here, but then other people are challenging and going this way, right? And it's the same thing in corporate America. I have team members that wanted to go in a different direction, and I'm like, that's not the strategy. It's human nature. It happens everywhere. But I think in my mind, it's a little bit more high risk when we have it in the church. In my mind, I could be wrong, in my mind. So thank you so much for your time today. LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. You can email me with any questions, dolores.m.smith2. The other piece that I'm going to ask you to do is this is a fun little survey. So if you bring out your camera and scan it, Kristen's got a few things to do, but if you bring out your camera, scan it, it'll bring you to a survey. Feedback. Feedback is a gift. So I just want you to be honest about what you felt about the workshop. If there's things I could add, things I shouldn't add, things you're like, that's not so funny, let me know. Thank you so much for being a great group and being super smart.